Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry to help you do church better, even on this beautiful Christmas day. I am your co-host, John Rinaldo, and I'm joined here by the one, the only, Chris Wesley. Merry Christmas, buddy.
Ho, 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 John Rinaldo. How's it going with you on this Christmas?
It's good. We can now say Merry Christmas, right? Now that Advent has passed us and now we're in the Christmas season for the next few weeks.
We can say Merry Christmas without judgment, you mean? Like,
I don't know what circles you run into. I don't find that most people really care if we say Merry Christmas early on. I mean, I get it from a liturgical point of view, but most people who are going around their day-to-day life aren't thinking necessarily liturgically.
Yeah, I appreciate the liturgical calendar and the seasons and the change. In fact, a couple of weeks ago, we had our Advent party for the students, you know, with ugly Christmas sweaters. So kind of a mixed message right there. But it was truly an Advent party. We talked about the Immaculate Conception, the Feast of St. Nicholas, John the Baptist. Kind of made it like all about the saints during that season. And a student came up to me and was like, Chris, why is everything in purple and pink? And I was like, because they're the Advent colors. They're like, but isn't this a Christmas? I was like, nope, it's an Advent party. We just happen to have ugly Christmas, you know, sweaters and everything. And so Jesus juked the kid at the moment. But, it's like, yeah, if someone wishes me a Merry Christmas, I'm not going to be like, not yet, you know. And you know, it's kind of funny because you remember the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler?
Yes, I do.
How he talks about we have eight crazy nights and stuff like that. I was like, you know, come on, Catholics. We have 12. We have 12 days of Christmas. You know, we have four more than Hanukkah, which isn't even like the high holy day of the Jewish community. Like, we get to rock it out for 12 days and we, you know, wear ourselves out right at day one. You know, it's like the fat man's marathon in a way, you know. Like, well, I don't know if that's appropriate. But.
Well, you know those radio stations that play Christmas music during Christmas, right?
Yeah.
And then they stop on December 26th, right?
Yeah.
And they start playing whatever music they were playing before. I'm like, I would give up you guys playing Christmas music like before Thanksgiving and have you start playing it later so that I can have Christmas music through Thanksgiving. Basically through New Year's, you know, because we are listening to Christmas music through New Year's. And, you know, we're one of those crazy families that tries to keep as much decorations as we can up through, certainly through the Epiphany, if not a little bit later. But we got to celebrate Christmas for its full glory. And that's what we're going to spend a little time today talking about. Today's going to be a little bit different episode. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be talking about leadership and skills necessarily today. But today I want to open with a quick story from a book I read years ago by Max Lucado. And it just got me thinking differently about Jesus, and not only the divine Jesus, but the human Jesus. And so I thought I would share this story and then have a little conversation around it as our Christmas episode, focusing on the baby Jesus and on this not so ordinary night. So Chris, if I could, I'm going to delve right into this short little introduction.
I have my coffee ready to listen to this story time. So if you are like me and enjoy stories, you might want to hit pause, get yourself something warm like tea or coffee or hot chocolate. And if you add anything else, no judgment here. And listen to this beautiful Christmas story with your family. Maybe they should turn on the fireplace, you know, and just stop opening presents. Just gather your family around as John gives us this story. John Rinaldo, take it away.
There is one word that describes the night that he came. Ordinary. The sky was ordinary. An occasional gust stirred the leaves and chilled the air. The stars were diamonds sparkling on black velvet. Fleets of clouds floated in front of the moon. It was a beautiful night, a night worth peeking out your bedroom window to admire, but not really an unusual one. No reason to expect a surprise, nothing to keep a person awake. An ordinary night with an ordinary sky. The sheep were ordinary. Some fat, some scrawny, some with barrel bellies, some with twig legs, common animals. No fleece made of gold, no history makers, no blue ribbon winners. They were simply sheep, lumpy, sleeping silhouettes on a hillside. And the shepherds, peasants they were, probably wearing all the clothes they owned, smelling like sheep and looking just as woolly. They were conscientious, willing to spend the night with their flocks, but you won't find their staffs in a museum nor their writings in a library. No one asked their opinion on social justice or the application of the Torah. They were nameless and simple. An ordinary night with ordinary sheep and ordinary shepherds. And were it not for a God who loves to hook an extra on the front of the ordinary, the night would have gone unnoticed. The sheep would have been forgotten, and the shepherds would have slept the night away. But God dances amidst the common, and that night he did a waltz. The black sky exploded with brightness. Trees that had been shadows jumped into clarity. Sheep that had been silent became a chorus of curiosity. 1 minute, the shepherd was dead asleep. The next, he was rubbing his eyes and staring into the face of an alien. The night was ordinary no more. Chris, I wanted to start with that just because we put all this emphasis on Christmas and Christmas Day, and all of our families have our traditions, our rituals, the things we kind of put behind it, you know, and it's become a big deal, and so much leads up to it. It's like, certainly before Thanksgiving, but by Thanksgiving, it's like we're in full Christmas mode and we're going at it, you know, and decorations are up and lights are up and trees are up and we're buying presents and we're wrapping presents and we're putting them under the tree and we're crossing all those things off the to-do list. We've got Christmas parties to go to, you know, maybe more than we want to go to. Some are fun, some are boring. And yet, when we think back, way back in history, when the night Jesus was born, there was none of that, which is, I think, is really interesting for me to kind of really think about how we put all this energy into it, as we should now, because this is the birth of our Savior, God coming with us and being with us on this earth. But yet nobody expected it. Oh, sure, some of the prophets, you know, said someday in Bethlehem, you know, Isaiah was talking about, sure, there was the prophecy of this, but nobody knew when the Messiah was going to come. Nobody really knew. And Jesus wasn't born in Jerusalem or any other high holy cities. He was born in Bethlehem, of all places. Yeah. Not even in a nice room, you know. Right. He was born, you know, I mean, historians debate on where exactly he was born, but the famous story that we know is the stable, put in a manger with sheep and cow lowing in the background, you know. Mm-hmm. What such humble beginnings on an ordinary night for something that really came to transform the world and transform us. And for me, that's really shocking. I mean, you know, I love the image of the shepherds, you kind of just doing their thing. And all of a sudden, like, oh, there's a bright star in the sky. Wait, what, these angels showing up? Wait, what's going on? And then seeing and experiencing the Holy Family, you know, the baby Jesus born on this day, they were the first to know. Mm-hmm. Shepherds were the first to know. And so I'm amazed at the really, truly the word, the ordinariness of the day that came extraordinary later. And so for me, like as we were completing this Advent season and heading into this Christmas season, it's so easy for me to get lost in all the hustle and bustle of Christmas and New Year's, everything that comes with it. And I find it very difficult to focus in on this.
Yeah.
This yeah. is what it's all about. And every year I tell myself, I'm going to do something to remember that this is about Jesus. I'm going to do something. I'm going to focus. And I don't do a good job. And I struggle with it. And I don't know if others struggle with it too. You know, I'm pretty sure I'm normal there with that. But I am struck by the ordinariness of this extraordinary day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. And I thank you for sharing all that too. I think something drastic has to happen for us to really appreciate it or change our perspective on that. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the past, or the first like 12 years of my ministry and working at at Nativity. And for us, the weeks leading up to Christmas Eve were a grind. And it even shaped the way that my wife and I celebrated Christmas Day. We would, I'd be so exhausted physically, emotionally, whatever, that on Christmas Day, I just wouldn't want to do anything, you know? And so we created a holiday where on Christmas Day, we would wake up. And even when we had kids, the most we would do was make coffee and heat up monkey bread. You ever have monkey bread?
No.
Yeah. Oh, it's Pillsbury biscuits, ripped up into chunks, covered in sugar and butter and cinnamon and baked in an oven. Oh my gosh, you guys, look it up. It's
I will.
So we would have that in the coffee, and then we would just hang out the whole day and then later order Chinese. You know, we wouldn't go anywhere. We wouldn't like get dressed up or anything like that. We would just order Chinese. And it was just a chance to kind of relax with family. And now that I'm at this church where Christmas Eve is still a big deal, but the amount of preparation that goes into it, into making it happen, is a little bit different. It's a little bit more low key. And it's not that we care less, but it is kind of a little bit more of the Advent season is kind of, you know, this preparation, like kind of stripping away, you know, and so that you can enter into the Christmas season, you know, not just Christmas Day, but the Christmas season, with a little bit more perspective. And I think in the last 2 years, I've been able to enjoy all 12 days of Christmas a little bit more, because my wife and I, when we left, you know, Nativity to come to St. Joseph's, we had to make these conscious decisions of, okay, how are our holidays going to change? How is this season going to change? Because so much changed with that. And so I think sometimes something drastic like that has to happen. And hopefully it's not anything negative. It can be something positive. But to do that, because getting caught up in the hype, it's almost like addicting. It's almost like, you know, keeping up with the Joneses. Do I have enough gifts? Did I go to enough parties? Did, you know, I do all this and that. And you get so worried. And then, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, baby Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And I don't know. I mean, for me, when I reflect on the birth of our Christ, I like the simplicity of it. I like the thought of the fact that everyone was just present. You know, granted, the Magi came and they brought gifts. The shepherds came and, you know, paid homage and worshiped. And but I almost like picture it as just people being present. And not necessarily a hoopla or like a huge party. And there's something that what I like about that is that sense of peace. And that's what Christ is bringing to earth, right? Is peace and joy. And I'd almost like to figure out a way where, you know, Christmas Day and then the days after it leading up to the Epiphany are really a day where we as a society just kind of chill out, you know? Which is hard because you got New Year's right in the middle of it, but you know, it's like, how do we just like relax? You know, is it shutting things down a little bit more? And you know, this is a question for church ministries, like as a church, do you like shut things down? You know, obviously we have Mass on, you know, New Year's and the Sunday, the weekend in between, but you know, how do we help people embrace that simplicity of that, of this holiday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about, you know, you talk about peacefulness, right? And, you know, I wonder what Mary thought. Like, I mean, obviously it's all speculation. What did Mary think through this, you know, but look, having witnessed the birth of my three children, there is anything but peaceful experience, certainly for my wife, you know, and I think about the idea that Mary got this incredible message from Gabriel about who this baby was going to be. And yet she had to spend all this time and energy taking care of this little crying baby. Like, I think about, you know, we think about Jesus was born, and, you know, I bet you, like, he didn't cry when he was born. Like, did he cry, like, the moment he was born into the world, right? You know?
Was he colicky?
Yeah, was he colicky, you know? You know, did he go through terrible twos? Did he have an attitude with his parents? You know, when he was a teenager, did he have pimples, you know? You know, it's little things like this, I think it's, for me, it's really interesting to reflect on, you know, because it's, as Jesus, as Mary and Joseph raise this child, and they had this, the message of Gabriel in their mind, how long did it take them to go, like, okay, God, what are you going to do your thing here, you know, because this kid is crazy, right? You know, because kids are crazy, right? You know, and we don't hear the story of Jesus crying, you know, we don't hear, you know, terrible twos, colicky, you know, all that stuff, right? You know. And do we even reflect on that? Do we even think about Jesus really being truly human, right? So fully divine, as the church teaches, mm-hmm. fully human, you know? So what does that mean, you know? Did Mary change a lot of diapers, or did Jesus come out being potty trained? I mean, it sounds so silly to even ask that question, right? You know? But yet these are the things that we don't think about when we think about Jesus being born on this day. Like,
yeah.
You know, oh, peace and joy, and the Savior has come to the world. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I'm not sure Mary felt that way necessarily early on, you know. And of course, his ministry didn't start till Jesus was 30, you know, roughly. It's like, so what did he right. do all that time? You know, was he just a human being doing this thing, you know, with the special God powers, you know, because he was God, you know? I mean, it's interesting to reflect. I mean, it's probably not anything that we could ever fully know or comprehend until we pass and ask those tough questions to God, you know, when we enter heaven, you know? But, you know, I know that I certainly don't want to lose the humanness. I mean, I think that's what makes Jesus so special, divine and human. And what did Mary, how did Mary and Joseph react to all that?
Yeah, you know, I guess, like, it must have been hard being parents, because if your son is the Son of God, if your son's Jesus Christ, he never was sinning. So, like, how do you discipline him? You know, it's just like, well, I guess if we discipline him, like, we're in the wrong, because he can commit no sin, you know. And,
but did they know that? Did they know that he could commit sin? Did they maybe doubt? It's like, Gabriel, were you really telling the truth here, or are you just pulling our strings right now?
Well, I think we have to believe that, you know? I mean, I always joke that poor Joseph, because he was the only one with sin, or who could sin, you know? Like, you know, you've got the Virgin Mary, and then you got the Son of God, and it's always your fault, you know? It's like, that would be an interesting sitcom. That's all I gotta say. But, like,
maybe that's why you don't hear about Joseph after Jesus was 12, right?
Well, you know what? He did the best thing that I think all men can learn from, and he was just silent, you know? And after, you know, he took Mary as his wife, it was just pretty much mum's the word after that, you know? What can you say? You know, it's like you're sitting at the dinner table and Jesus is like, yeah, I did this little miracle. And Mary's like, oh, yeah, you know, I care for the Son of God. And Joseph's like, oh, look what I made in the shop today. You know, it's like.
I'm sure Joseph taught him to be a carpenter. Jesus was a carpenter. So he mentored Jesus.
No, of course. And I think that's sometimes what we get wrong with humanity. I think sometimes we think, you know, to be human means having the choice between right and wrong, you know, and it doesn't necessarily, I think, mean that you are going to sin, because if Jesus came down and was human, that would, and we went under the belief that humanity equates sinfulness, then Jesus would have to have been a sinner, but that's not possible. And you know, I think, even though it's not necessarily a Christmas verse, I think about Paul's letters to the Philippians, chapter 2, when he says, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness, and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And so I think about that in the sense where God coming as coming down as Jesus, Jesus walking this earth, he made himself vulnerable to the sin of the world in the sense of, you know, feeling pain, feeling suffering, allowing our sins to put him in a situation where he loses his life for us. And so I think about the emotion that he must have gone through. And that's where I really connect with the humanity of Christ, is the emotion that he suffered. Like, you know, his frustration with Peter to the point where he had to say, "Get behind me, Satan," right? Or with the people in the temple where he's flipping over tables. And I love that because that is human in the sense where it's okay to be angry. It's okay to be frustrated, even frustrated with the people that you love. So going back to, like, did he talk back to Mary and Joseph? He probably did, but in an honoring way where he didn't break the commandment. So that's kind of where I'm like, huh, where's that line? Where's that point where Mary and Joseph are, like, convicted by their wrongdoing, where they're like, oh, my son is active. And but that also shows their humility probably as parents, right? And I think that's something that we can look at, is just because I'm a dad or just because I'm a parent doesn't mean I'm always right and that my kids can't show me something new as well. You know, and so that's where I look at the humanity, is not so much like, oh, I wonder what they could have done wrong, but in the point of, like, what their emotions looked like and how that impacted those around, like when Jesus wept, right, with Lazarus, you know, and, you know, sometimes I wonder, was it just like, you know, was it a stoic kind of cry where the tear just drips down his face, or was it like the snot induced, like, sort of cry?
Or was it a crocodile tears that our kids give us sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, or Charlton Heston, like, why?
That's so awesome. I hadn't thought about that before. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really interesting. And it, you know, it's funny. It didn't take you long to go, from the birth of Jesus to the resurrection, right? Mm-hmm. Or to the death, right? Right? Which, of course, you know, is a bigger deal for us as Catholics. Is Christmas is the birth, and that's certainly a big deal. But the bigger deal is Easter, right? You know, because there, this human being defied all logic and all science and all anything we ever known, and although Jesus coming to earth transformed the world, Easter arguably transformed the world more, you know, because of certainly the Triduum, his death and his resurrection. And we can't lose sight of that, you know, as right. a piece of the story. But yeah, I mean, the tears in the garden, like, so human, right? This idea of, like, you know, take this cup away from me, God, but not my will, but your will be done. I mean, here was a Jesus who was emotional, knows was about to go through something painful, you know, in the cross, on the cross, and really said, God, will you please just take this away from me? Like, I don't want it. Like, I don't want it, you know, but had the wisdom of God, obviously, to know, but it's not my will, it's your will. I mean, and that's I think the power of the human Jesus is not so much, you know, that we're not Jesus, but more like we couldn't be like Jesus, right? You know, and that we strive to that. I mean, back in the day when I was in high school, you know, I wore that bracelet, WWJD, right? What would Jesus do? And it really was nothing but a reminder to me, as cheesy as, and as much as we make fun of that statement now, it's still a valid statement, because there are times that I do want to think about how Jesus would react in these situations. Now, obviously Jesus lived a different time and different era, you know, and so, but it's still worthy to think about, like, I want to be more like Christ. I want to be Christ in the world in some way, shape, or form, by my actions, by my faith, by my love. And do I fail a lot? Oh, absolutely. Last night I was in bed praying, you know, because I just was so impatient with my children. And I'm just like, God, give me the patience, you know, you know, and be that reminder that, look, Jesus was emotional. Jesus got angry. Jesus, you know, was tearful. you know. But yeah, we can strive to be like Jesus. Jesus is God, but we can mimic him. We can model Jesus and be changed like him. I don't know. I mean, I think it's an interesting reflection.
And I think it's really important to reflect on these things because, you know, it even makes me think back to the National Conference on Catholic Youth Ministry, where a lot of the focus was on how people in our church know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus, right? And I think we have to reflect on his humanity at times because it gives us permission to be human ourselves. And it's so easy to get caught up in church world and Catholicism and lean towards the sign of truth where it almost becomes, we become like Pharisees, right? Where it's all about the law and not about the relationship. And I think like it's during this season where we have to give people permission to be emotional, you know, and not necessarily with the whole secular shopping and everything like that, but this is going to be a time where people are going to mourn the loss of loved ones. You know, this is going to be a time where people are going to feel alone because, whether because they lost a loved one or they just don't have the support network in their life. This is a time where people are going to be anxious or hopeful because a new year is coming. And I think in the church, we need to continue to create these environments where people can be human. We just finished a series on small groups where that's like, I think a perfect opportunity for that. I wonder like, you know, during Lent, we offer confession quite a bit. Like we should maybe do that a little bit more in Advent. I don't know what your church does, but I know that the churches that I'm around don't necessarily beef up Advent, you know, beef up confessions during Advent like they do with Lent. So, you know, I think there's that. I think as a church staff, we have to be aware that there are going to be people hurting in our congregation, and we got to use this Advent and now Christmas season to let them know that they're loved and let them know that there's a Jesus who understands their pain, who understands their frustration, who understands their hurt and their hangups, because we can see that in scripture. We can see that through the way that we celebrate the liturgy. I think it's on us as a church to remind people of that. And that's why people will come back to church, because they want to know the God that knows them. They want to know the God that can give them that. So, as you finish your monkey bread on this Christmas, or your ham or turkey or whatever you may enjoy, or just like Christmas cookies, you know, and in between commercial breaks of the Christmas Story marathon that you guys are all watching, you know, think about like how, you know, as a church, you can approach the new year. You can approach this Christmas season, allowing people to be human, because after all, our God was. John, thanks so much for bringing this story and this topic. You know, with you being a professor or teaching at the universities and me pursuing my master's degree, do I get credit for this class? I mean, is this something like you can write in and I can submit to the university of my choice and just say, I already got a couple of credits from
Christology. Yeah, this is your course in Christology right here.
Christology from John Rinaldo.
No, I don't think so. No. Sorry, buddy.
Even if we put on some nice paper?
Yeah, no, definitely not. No.
Okay. All right. Next time. Anyway, still looking for that honorary degree. John, thanks very much. If people want to reach out to you and wish you a Merry Christmas, where are some of the best places to do that on social media?
Social media at John Rinaldo on Twitter is the best place to catch me, and definitely look forward to engaging all of you there.
Cool. And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Marathon Youth Ministry. Obviously, you can visit our websites, johnrinaldo.com and marathonyouthministry.com. But definitely send us your questions. Anything you want us to talk about in the weeks to come, send us your questions at thechurchpodcast.org. And just spend the rest of your day or your Christmas season enjoying family, enjoying life, and knowing your love. And with that, let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending us your son to show us the way, the truth, and the light, to give us joy and peace in this earth, to let us know that we are loved more than anything that this world could ever offer. And God, I pray during this Christmas season that you continue to shine your light through us, that we continue to be that conduit of your love, so that no one in this earth believes that they're alone. Lord, we love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit.